Well, it's good to be back under the tent tonight. It's always a real experience to me to come and be under the tent or to be with the people wherever I'm at and speak to the people in the name of the Lord. We've been here for quite a number of days, and we've not had any overflowing crowds. In first coming here, I had intended to set up the little tent. We've got what I call the little tent. It's a good-sized tent. We use it. Sometimes we just set two ends of this, or we set the little tent. The Lord impressed me that He wanted the big tent set. And I had a feeling I knew why. And so far, it has worked out just exactly that way. You know, if you set up a little tent, you fill the little tent up, and there's no room for complaint because the little tent is filled up. But if the Lord is seeking occasion against people, then He lets you set up a big tent like this, and there's plenty of empty space. That gives God plenty of room to judge the situation. I did what He told me to do and what I understood, and come where He told me to come. And I've really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The people have been wonderful that have come out to the meeting, and God is surely going to bless them. He's going to look down upon them and bless them. Sad to say that the ministry of this area is not very wise. Now that might upset some of you, and you might not want to come back, but it's sad to say that the ministers of this area are not very wise. You know, I said this to a gentleman today, as a matter of fact. I was talking to somebody today about the things of God. I said the same thing in essence to him today. If I'd have come to set up a tent to have a meeting, if nobody had bothered to come out, it would have been different in the sense of the ministry I'm speaking. You know, it would have been different because I'd come to do my thing and they had their thing to do, and that would have been it. But when God said come, or when God sends you to an area, it's altogether different. That's a different story altogether. And then if ministers do not respond, it is evident that ministers are not in contact with God and are not walking with God, because the first thing they would do is check a thing out if they really was walking with God. First of all, a good shepherd would have come out to check this out anyway. Whether I said God had sent me or not, He would have come out and checked it out because of His sheep. He would have been concerned about His sheep, because any shepherd knows when something like this sets up that somebody's going to go out to it. Some of His people is bound to drift off out there. And we've had a lot of people that come here. A fellow was telling me today that he was inviting somebody to church or to the tent, and I had talked to somebody or some connection was made, and he said, well, said, I'm not going to that place. That preacher's got a $50 prophecy, and I believe he said a $75 prophecy, and I don't know what kind of prophecies. And said, and besides that, on Saturday night, is it, or whatever night, said they mess with them snakes. And, you know, I've seen a display of ignorance. The most ignorant people in the world are those that will comment over something that they don't know anything about. To me, that is ignorance. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. That is ignorant. You know, now I can see somebody coming to the service and maybe not disagreeing and even getting upset. Maybe saying something contrary to it when they're wrong, when I know that this is right. But they might even do that because they don't understand. And maybe they've been taught something else. But for a person to pass their opinion in such an ignorant manner, not knowing nothing about the preacher, not knowing nothing about the services, not knowing anything about anything, that is really bad, folks. People are in bad shape when they do those kind of things. But I understood pretty well what was going to happen. We would come here, and it's worked out so far that way. But I'm so glad that we've come. I'm glad that I set the big tent. I'm glad that everything has worked accordingly. Not in that I'm glad that the tent isn't filled up, because preachers like to preach to people. And the more people they preach to, the better they like it, because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whereas we've had a vast turnover here, and if we'd had them all here at one night, we'd have had a tent full of people. But nevertheless, we've reached them, and they went their way, and they got the gospel, and they'll have to give an account thereof in the day of the judgment. But for those that have considered and wanted to come back, been interested, been courteous, I really praise God for that. I really thank the Lord for it. As a matter of fact, we were in need of some steaks today. Some double flange steaks was what I was wanting. And that for the poles here, because this ground is so hard that some of the steaks we've got, long, wide flange steaks, they're hard to get in the ground. And Brother Al today brought me a whole slew of them. And I know they costed him some money. And he wouldn't let me pay for them. He bought me enough and gave them to me. He said, this is my part in the gospel. I thank God for that. It's men that are willing to share with God, or men that are willing to try to straighten their lives up, even if they've made great mistakes. It's men and women of that nature that bring the blessing to the city. They're the ones that hold the wrath of God off of the city, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just Lot alone held the wrath of God off of that city. And the Bible said the very same day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone down on it. Now perhaps some of you have been over into the Holy Land and you've seen this place. I've been there and I've seen the sight of this thing where the fire and brimstone came down and where it just took away everything. And the Bible said that just man vexed, a righteous man vexed by their filthy conversation every day. Said it vexed his righteous soul. He was the blessing of that city, that community. And the very moment that he went out, God had no desire or use for it at all. And he just slew all of them at one time. So it's the people that love God and people that fear God and those that will follow God that keeps the wrath of God from off of the others. You have the salt of the earth, you take the salt out, the meat spoils. It's like David of old, fleeing from Saul, out in the wilderness. He protected a man's flock, a man great and wealthy. He protected his flock against the alien powers or against robbers. And then when he got into problems and he needed a little food for his men, he thought, I protected this man's flock so long. He's never given us anything. He's never said thank you, whatever, yet he knows we've done it. So he sent word over to him if he'd just help him just a little bit. And the man cursed and snorted and drunken, sent word back how he felt and what he would do. And it stirred David up so much, David got fierce, and David pulled out his sword, so to speak, and told his men to gird on their sword and said, I won't leave nothing that fellow's got, including him. And about the time he started off, here come Abigail. She met him. She knew what her crazy husband had done. And she met him. And when she met him, she fell down before him and said, my Lord, help me. Help me and protect me and protect my household. Said, I'll take care of your men and I'll feed them and I'll help them. And she pacified the wrath of David to the extent that David put his sword back in the sheath and went away because of the wisdom of the woman that had the love of God. And did you know that God was so angry with that man that he called the son of Belial that he let him have a heart attack and it killed him just like that? And he took his wife and gave his wife to David because she was such a fine woman. That's really something, isn't it? But always there is the man or the woman or the couple that is in the community somewhere that loves God enough that they will stand up for the right thing, and in standing up for the right thing, they save the city, all the people, from the wrath of God and the plagues that would sweep over that city if it was not for them being in the city. Sometimes God will move a person from way off out of another state, take that individual, and they don't even know why, and move that individual into a neighboring town or another state so as to protect the people in that area, in that there are ignorant people in that area that hasn't yet learned, and because of the people that are So Belial, that's in that area, God knowing he's going to have to pour out his wrath upon it, he'll send somebody over there and let them take roots in that area to protect those people until he can get the gospel to them. But folks, we're living in a sad time. I'm sure that you know that without me telling you. I don't come here to preach to you because you're ignorant. And I don't come here to preach to you because you don't know many of the things that we're saying. But I preach to you as a reminder in that the Bible teaches that we are the watchmen on the wall. And Peter, the others, said, we know that you know these things, but we feel that it's meet that we should stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ. By way of remembrance of these things, though you know these things, sometimes you'll let these things get real dim in your mind. And said, it is our job to stir up your mind by way of remembrance to let you know that it is imperative to your soul welfare as well as your natural welfare to do God's will and to listen to the Word of God and to prepare yourself accordingly. And so then, when I come to preach to you and I come to talk to you about these things, I do that because I want to remind you. I want to remind you. Perhaps they are ministers or great men. They should come out here to find out whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, so as to bless me before their sheep and say, stay away from that wolf and what he's doing. Or either come out here and say, my God, this is God. He has sent this thing to town and I'd better get out here and do what I can, or God's going to tear me up for it. The people are without any excuse so far as knowing, because there has been, I suppose, at least 7 papers with the article that came out today. I think it came out today. At least 7 papers, I guess, or 7 runs in the paper of different papers that has carried this to probably more than 100,000 people. And there's no excuse. The Lord has a reason. But I'm thankful tonight to be here. I'm thankful to talk with you. And I can say this from my heart. I hope you don't mind me taking time from night to night to talk with you just a little bit. But I can say this from my heart. And I say it reverently. I say it with respect. I say it in the fear of God. I say it as a man that will have to answer to God and stand before the great white throne of judgment in that day. If the people had any idea what God was doing in sending us here, you wouldn't have to put out any advertisement. You wouldn't have to invite anybody. There wouldn't be any way, not any way whatsoever, that you could keep them away from here. There wouldn't be any way. You couldn't possibly keep them away from here. They would come all right, but the Lord has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. They may be very wise people, very intelligent people. But the Bible said God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, that he might make it revelation unto babes such as would learn. Of course, when I say those things, you know I'm a stranger to you other than those that have come out from time to time and got acquainted with us. And I'm a stranger to you, and naturally you throw those things around in your mind and you wonder, because everybody says he's right and everybody says he's got the answer and everybody knows what ought to be done. And of course, I'm just another pebble on the beach. I'm just dropping in my part. And as far as the human mind is concerned, in the day we're living in, it's just one more that's dropped into the bucket. That's all. And that's right. So far as me as an individual, that is absolutely right. I'm just another pebble on the beach. I'm just another pea that's dropped into the bucket with all the rest of them. And I am no more than anybody else. So that judgment would be right. But beloved friend, as to what is being preached and what is to come forth. But anyway, as I said, I, as an individual, I'm just another person. But these things that are coming forth, and the fact that we are up here and having this tent set, it is so fantastically unbelievable and so wonderful. Like Brother Taylor was telling me today, our secretary, Brother Taylor said, Brother Pye said, this is so wonderful. He said, we could write a book. Beginning at Thomasville, said we could write a book. My, what a book we could write just on that meeting and this meeting. And that is true. But it is so fantastically wonderful. But if their eyes have not been opened to the heavenly realm, there is no way that they can see it. All they can see is me. And I see you and you see me and we see the tent. We see what's around us. And that's it. And somebody said, well, I don't see nothing so different about that. Most assuredly you don't, because that's what people do, that's what preachers do. But you know, I want you to think on this little thing here before I read. You're born into this world. There's no dispute over that. No doubt over that. We all know that we are born into this world. That's the way we got into it. There was no other way to get into it, only to be born into this world. And because we are born into this world, then we see this world and we see all the things around this world. That is, in the world. We see the people around us. We see the way of the world. We see the things of the world. We understand them because we are part of the world. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus came to him as a ruler of the Jews. And he was talking to him. And Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel and you don't understand these things? Do you claim to be a preacher? Do you claim to be a rabbi? Or do you claim to be a leader? Do you claim to be a master here in Israel, a ruler over people? And you don't understand these things? He said, I've not talked to you about anything but earthly things. He said, our conversation has been about earthly things and just using a little wisdom of God. You don't understand those things? He said, how will you ever understand if I talk about heavenly things? How could you ever understand? And he said to Nicodemus, he said, no man has ever ascended up into heaven. No man. He said, there's never been a man that ever went up into heaven. No man. Except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. And he looked at Nicodemus and he really shocked him. As he stood there looking at him, he said, no man has ever gone up nor come down except me, Nicodemus, one man. He said, except the Son of Man. And he looked at Nicodemus and he said, and I'm still in heaven. I'm talking with you and you're looking right straight at me, but said, I'm still in heaven while I talk to you. And the man, as the world said, was flabbergasted. He couldn't understand it. There he stood and he saw Jesus, and yet this man confessed, that is, Jesus Christ confessed, that he was standing there in heaven while he was communicating with this ruler. And the man was literally shocked. He didn't know what to say. He couldn't doubt it. Can you say that Jesus lied about it? Can you say that Jesus was not in heaven? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know that he wasn't in heaven. Then what happened to him when he stood there on the mountain? When the disciples went up there with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and he stood there in his human body, why all of a sudden did he glow and his raiment glisten like the light? And why was it that Moses and Elijah appeared there with him? Why was that? Because he was in heaven. He knew what he was talking about. It's true that he stood there in his fleshly veil. It's true that they saw him as a human being. But it was also true that he was in heaven. Now, this, we would say, well, Brother Pike, that could be because that was the Master. But let's look just a little bit beyond that. The Bible says that we are not of this world. Are you listening? We, not Jesus now, we are not of this world. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean we are not of this world? Because we died to this world. The Bible says that I am dead to the world by the body of Jesus Christ and the world dead to me. Therefore, if I'm a dead man to the world and the world is dead to me, I'm not in that world anymore. And the Bible said if you are in that world, then you are in the flesh. And if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. For the Bible said God has chosen us out of this world, out of this flesh. And He hath hid us with Christ, that one that was in heaven. Hid us with Christ in God, that is in the Spirit, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution, the restoring, or the coming in of the great millennium day when God will restore all things. Now, somebody would say, now, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I simply mean one thing. For me to be in this world, I had to be born into it. And then, for me to get out of this world, I had to die to it. And for me to get into the other world, I had to be born into that world. And being born into that world, I now see in that world. I now live in that world. I now dwell in that world. I now understand that world. Because I have been born into that world, I am part of that world. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You can never see the kingdom of God because with your eyes, though you may be waiting for the kingdom of God as the Jews was waiting for the kingdom of God, with your eyes, you are never going to see the kingdom of God. Never. You know, scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. And when we consider God in such a way as to think that we can see God with these little eye nerves that picks up images to transmit to our brain, then that means we don't understand. The Bible said when the Ancient of Days appears, He is so great and so mighty as the great light that all of the world just passes away. The mountains flee away. All of the earth flees away. All of humanity flees away. The ocean flees away. Nothing can stand in His presence. And the Bible said He's the great light. He is the great light that no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality, and we behold that great light, our Heavenly Father, even through the veil of the lovely Son of God, Jesus Christ. So I said all that just to say this, we must be born again. If we're ever going to see that world or understand that world or get into that world, we're going to have to be born into that world. And then when we get born into that world, we'll begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, in that we're ordained to that very thing. So then, I said that you might think on it tonight to let you know why that people don't understand. Why people don't rally. In the book of Deuteronomy, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. And as we talk with you, don't get upset. Don't just run out when we say something that crosses your thinking, or crosses your desire, or crosses what you believe in. Don't get upset. Don't run out. Don't say, aha, I don't believe that, because it could be that you're wrong. It could be that what we're saying is right. It might be worthy of your consideration, you know, because it could just be that the thing that we said was right and what you thought was right was wrong altogether. So it would do well to be a wise man in that the Bible said a wise man looketh well to his going. He ponders the path of his feet. He handles his affairs with discretion. He counts the cost. And in that this is true, it might be well with you tonight to listen real close and think over what we said. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. This is the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And in that there's a special thing taking place, I'd like to read this just before I read from, I believe it's the 27th or 28th chapter. In the 25th verse, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off of the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hand, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, thou shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Or ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. can truthfully say there has not. But let's read over in the 28th chapter. Now, I'd like to read just a little bit here in the 28th chapter, and I'd like for you to listen real close. In the 28th chapter, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligent unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now that's what we'd like for him to do, isn't that right? He's speaking of a nation now. The Bible said that sin is a reproach to any nation, but righteousness will exalt a nation. America has been exalted because of her righteousness, and now she's being defamed and dethroned because of her foolishness and corruption. Now, before we read that, let's read something else here. In the 27th chapter, it says, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Listen now, folks, cursed be the man that maketh any graven, a molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or his daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now let's go back to what we was reading a few minutes ago. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give thee rain unto thy land in the season, and to bless all the works of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And I want you to listen real good, folks, to this right here. If you want to find out what's wrong with the world and see what has happened to the world and find out if the preacher is telling you the truth, I want you to listen now. He told how he would bless here if we would do thus and thus and make us a holy people. But if we don't, listen to this now. Cursed shall thou be in the city. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean cursed shall thou be in the city? I'm speaking of the emergency wagons. I'm speaking of the patrols. I'm speaking of the fires. I'm speaking of the hazards. I'm speaking of all the things that happen, whether it be from diseases or whether it be from tornadoes or whatever. I'm speaking of the confusion. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flock of thy sheep. I can't go into all of this tonight, but there's just a few I'd like to speak of as we go along. I'd love to talk about all of them. But anyway, it said you'd be cursed in the field. That is, your fruit will be eaten up by the bugs and the worms. He said, cursed shall be the basket of thy store, that is, it'll rot right in there on you. He said, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, that is, your children will be born with diseases, and they will be born in deformity and all of these things of paralysis, insanity, and whatever. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. That is, the blessing of the Lord will not be upon you. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. That is, you'll just be vexed and tormented, and devils harassing your mind, and evil spirits and nervous breakdowns and whatever. He said, I'll do this until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Somebody would say, God loves everybody, Brother Pike, and you should know that God loves everybody. But I'll tell you that God doesn't love everybody. As a matter of fact, it's just to the contrary. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth, because their offering is abomination in my sight. And even if they pray to me, he said, it is abomination in my sight. And I will not hear the prayer of the wicked. And he said, the wicked is like troubled waters that's ever casting up their mire upon the bank. I will pursue them until they perish from off the face of the earth. I am displeased with the wicked. I don't want them in my world. I don't want them on my earth. I don't want them near me. I do not love them. I am angry with them every day. I am in pursuit of them every day. And I am going to kill them. I'm going to destroy them. So you see how God feels about the wicked and how people can get the wrong concept. Now you say, well, I still believe God loves people. All right? Then that means that one of these brothers out here with the camera, I can say, I love you, and I got my shotgun, and I got it loaded, and I'm following him every day. I'm tracking him down with bloodhounds so I can blow his brains out because I love him. Now, that don't fit together, does it? See, God hates the wicked. He said, I hate the wicked with a perfect hatred. So then, it is a true fact that if you do not do right, God hates you. If you are contrary to God's kingdom, God hates you. And God only has let the blood of His Son be shed, not for the wicked. Somebody would say, God shed His blood for everybody. I beg your pardon. If God shed His blood for the wicked, then why isn't the wicked saved? God shed His blood for the believer and cut off everybody that would not believe and everybody that would not conform to His desire. And the proof of that will be in the day of judgment when God will say, thou wicked one, turn and go into the lake of fire, or depart from ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. So then it is a sad thing to get mixed up in life and get into a church or get under a preacher's teaching or to get with somebody that don't know what they're talking about. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls good evil and evil good, or a man that tries to establish darkness for light. So he says here, I will pursue thee, he says. He goes on to say, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off of the land whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'm sick and the devil made me sick. Brother Pike, I'm torn down, the devil's tore me down. Brother Pike, I'm having a hard time and the devil is to blame. But I want you to know that the devil can do nothing unless God allows the devil to do it. The devil had to get permission when he went before God in the days of Job. He had to get permission to do what he did. Now, a lot of people don't like this kind of preaching because it gets down on the avenue of their wicked life. But anyway, this is the truth. This is what will save you, and this is what will deliver you. And this is what causes the wicked not to be able to sit in your presence. The Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. If we be a righteous people and we preach the gospel, the wicked can't stay there. They will either have to get up and leave or make a change in their life, or they'll have to do something because they are looking for somebody to tickle their ears, as the Bible says. And they are heaping to themselves teachers. They're not taking God's teachers, nor are they looking for God's teachers. They are hatching their teachers out of seminary, or they're bringing their teachers out of their own religious movement, that their teachers may take churches and protect their investment or their enterprises. That is, they exchange pastors. One pastor goes to this church and another pastor goes to that church, and you've got to fit their rules and regulations if you can get into the inner circle. They do that to protect the money system that they've got because they are robbing the people of millions and millions of dollars. Now, so then, here we see, he said, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Can evil come to a city, and I've not sinned it, saith the Lord? I am the one that wounds. I am the one that smites. I am the one that binds up. I am the one that pours in the oil and the wine. Can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it? I am the one that hath created the good and the evil. I am the one that hath my way in both. I am the one that works all things after the counsel of my own will. So then we say, does the devil hurt somebody? Does the devil afflict somebody? Does the devil pounce on somebody? He certainly does. But does God allow him to do that? God certainly does. God certainly does. God warns us when we are innocent and when we do not know and when we are ignorant, then the blood of Jesus Christ prevails for us, and God watches over us and God takes care of us. And God doesn't let the devil get near us. He said, all of these things will fall around your dwelling and won't come nigh your door because I'm the one that hath control over it. But when we willfully sin against God, when the Word of God tells us something and we won't listen at it, when the preacher tells us what the Word of God tells him, and we don't listen to that, and we don't conform to that, then what happens to us? We give place to the devil. We give place to the devil, and then comes the devil to smite us. Then comes the devil to hurt us. Then comes the devil to do something evil to us. Somebody would say, but I didn't do anything, Brother Pike, and this happened to me. But the Bible said the curse will not come without a cause. You've got to do something. You've got to open the door. You've got to be in unbelief. You've got to violate. You've got to fail to conform to God. You've got to have the sin of commission or the sin of omission one way or another in your life, because the curse cannot come unless you give place to it. The curse cannot come without a cause. When something happens to you, something happens in your life, there has to be some kind of reason. Somewhere or another, you give place to the devil. Now, the blood is spilled to protect us, and he tells us the way to be protected by the blood is to conform to the Word of God. He says here, the Lord shall smite thee, or shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. Now that's a familiar sound. And with a fever, that's another familiar sound. And with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. So then where does these things come from? Said the Lord would smite thee with them. And with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder, and dust from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now see, how is the war won? The Bible said the war is not won by the strong, the race is not to the swift, the battle is the Lord's. So he said, righteousness exalteth the nation, I'll fight for you. But sin is a reproach to any people, that is, you'll go down. So he says here, it shall come down as powder upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. I want to read that again. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. He said there wouldn't be any healing medicine. He said, when I bring these things upon you, there's no need to run to the hospital. There's no need to run to the doctor, because when I bring them upon you, you won't be healed. Doctors can soothe you. They can give you some kind of a dope. They can ease the pain. They can do a little something to help you. But when you get out of there, you're going to have the same problem and even something worse. Whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. That means the president, the senators, the sheriff. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein, and thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. That is, God will let your wives turn into prostitutes. Your husband will turn into whoremongers. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation, which thou knowest not, eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olives shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. This is certainly a thing of today. Daughters and sons, by the multiplied thousands, are taken into the power of dope and into the power of demons and become beatniks and whatever. And all thy trees and fruits of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statute which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because, now listen to this, folks, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. He said, because you don't have any joy in coming to the house of God, and you don't have any joy in fasting and praying, and you don't have any joy in conforming to the ways of God, and you don't have any joy in prayer and lifting your hands up to God, thanking him for all the things that he has given you. He said, because you don't have any of this, he said, then therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord will send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, that is, in the power of arms, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Did you know that after this prophecy, it got so bad in one day of the prophet, until a woman actually took her children and she killed her children and they ate her children. She actually took them and killed them so that one another could eat the children. He said, the siege shall be so tight that you'll take your little child, as this woman did, and you'll kill your little child. Now, when we think of that naturally, that's horrible. But then when we think of it spiritually, that we get in such a spiritual siege, and we get so oppressed by the devil, until we'll let our daughters go anywhere and our sons go anywhere, we'll say they're driving us out of our minds. We can't stand it. And because the devils and demons and neighbors so oppress us, saying that you're too tight on your daughter and you're too tight on your son in the siege, we actually spiritually eat them in the sense of our gullible appetite of not facing the situation, and we let them go out to devils and demons and wind up prostitutes and whatever. But he goes on to say here, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. This happens every day. A man will run off and leave his wife, leave his little children, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Devils and demons actually overpower men with lust and crave toward the opposite sex, until they will walk off and leave their faithful little wife and leave their children and gullibly eat their children up, swallow their children up in the sense of their gullible appetite for the lust of the flesh. And the children are literally consumed and gone to the extent that they have nobody to raise them, nobody to look after them, nobody to help them, just all because of the devils and demons that's gotten into their fleshly body, because they will not serve God and let God's Spirit get in there to keep that thing out. He said, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her feet upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter. and toward her young ones that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in the gate, the woman like the man, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plague of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance. I want you to listen to this now. It'll become a chronic ailment. You can't get any healing. Even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Isn't that America? Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now listen to this. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. He goes on down to explain to us that these things will come upon us because we don't serve God with joyfulness of heart. He emphasizes that on down through the scriptures here, if I took time to read. But I just wanted to read down to this place to let you know that even though I might not have named the plague in this book, even though the Bible might not have the name of the plague in this book that will be upon you, or the thing that the doctor will diagnose, even that they've got a scientific term for it, you know, every disease, they've got a scientific terminology for it, and it might not be recorded in the Bible according to their definition. But it's the same age-old disease. And he said if there should be anything that's not named in this book of the plagues, he said God will bring them upon you, which means that every disease that scientists discover, God has brought it upon the people. Now, folks, listen to me just for a few minutes tonight. I read quite a bit of scripture here, so I'll try not to hold you long talking to you. But let's just be real people tonight. Let's get down to business and let's think this thing over and let's be sober-minded and let's look at it just the way that it is. You know, we don't need to be fictitious and we don't need to be the kind of people that blind ourselves to the truth. There is no blinder person in the world than one that has blinded himself. You know, if you get blinded or something happens to you or someone else blinds you, then somebody can help you. But if you blind yourself by not loving the truth, not believing the truth, not listening to the truth, then nobody can help you. So then, I want you to listen for just a few minutes tonight. What is wrong with America? She is sinful. What has she done? She hath corrupted all of her ways. Not only has she corrupted her way in the city, in the fields, not only has she corrupted her way in intermingling one with another, but she has actually defiled the house of God, and she's defiled herself in the temple of God, and she's brought the abominable things of the world into the house of God. Did you know that the churches has put pool rooms down in the basement of the churches? They've actually brought the ball games into the churches, saying that God wanted this that way. And I preached the other night on the Red Dragon, devouring the child as soon as it was born, and explained what it had to do with. I brought out a little of it. But they have taken the abominable things of the world and they brought them into the church and made them a part of the church. And it has upset God so until he has turned away from them and he doesn't even call them a church anymore. He refers to them as a cage. And he said, that of every evil spirit or unclean and hateful bird, the Bible says. He has actually withdrawn from them because they have perverted the word of God. They have changed the word of God. They have taken the word of God, and instead of having the word of God in its wonderful adulterated way that it might give life, the Bible says that from the sacred dais and in the churches, they have actually changed the word of God into a lie. The Bible says that they've actually taken God's word and changed it into a lie. And did you know those men can preach Now you're talking about preaching. Some of those fellows are some of the best preachers that ever walked on the earth. They are fiery, they're lit up, they're intelligent, they've got ability, they can do all kinds of things with that word. But the Bible said what they do, that they are devils incarnate, and they transformate their minds. The Bible says that these ministers of darkness, darkness means intellectual concept, intellectual understanding, means people that are under the control of the powers of intellectual reasoning. These intellectual scholars, these men of darkness, these men of human reasoning, in that Satan loved the things that be of the flesh, these great supermen of intelligence, they have transformed their minds. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. A Christian has that power because of the grace of God. But in that the blood is on the seat of atonement, the people of today that's wretched and miserable and blind and devils incarnate have the same privilege while the blood is on the seat of atonement. Did you know this is how Lucifer rules the world? Did you know that Lucifer rules the world by believing? He has exalted himself and raised himself up to the level of God while the blood is on the seat of atonement. And did you know that he can work miracles? And the Bible calls them lying signs and wonders. The Bible said that the people of darkness, ministers of darkness, they can get up here, and in that the blood is on the seat of atonement, they can talk to you till faith comes up and the anointing of God will come around and the atmosphere will be created, and they can transform their minds to the extent that they can speak this word of light and be a great preacher in your presence. They can do it. Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light, which means he actually perverts the word. He can actually come to you like God and speak to you like he did Jesus when he said, Jesus, thus it is written. And he can actually come to you in the form of the word, changing the word of God into a lie. He can actually come to your intelligence and speak to you the word of God, and it changed into a lie. Did you know that when he quoted the word of God to Jesus, he changed it into a lie? He said, cast yourself down from here, for thus it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Did you know that's an exact quotation? Did you know that's the word of God? Did you know he gave it to Jesus verbatim? That Satan quoted the word of God to the word of God himself. And Jesus said he never denied one word of it. But he knew it was perverted. He knew it had been changed into a lie. He knew that Satan sought to kill him with that. And he just said to Satan, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And of course the devil flew into a rage and left. Did you know that preachers will come around and they'll condemn every good thing that you stand for? They'll condemn every word of God, and they'll explain away every trait of holiness that there is. The devil, the one thing the devil hates is holiness. Now, are you listening to me? The one thing that the devil hates is holiness. I tell you what you do. You go up to Eden tonight, or you go up there tomorrow, or you go Sunday, and you check out every church in Eden, and you come back and tell Brother Pike how many churches in Eden actually preach godly holiness when it comes to godly living and godly dressing and godly daily deeds toward Christ's kingdom. Find out how many preaches real holiness. The devil has manipulated and he has engineered the thing and he has oppressed until every Holy Ghost-filled person, every God person that really stands for something, he has shifted them out or driven them out or got them entangled in something of the world to where their light has completely gone out. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see that. Well, why does the Bible say that at the midnight cry, they all was asleep? The Bible said all of the virgins was asleep. It wasn't just the foolish virgins. But at the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. Which means in the end time, gross darkness covering the people, that every last one of them had gone to sleep. Look at the saints of God, the real Christians, the way they used to dress, the way they used to talk, the fire that they had in their soul for God, the ego for Christ. Look at it now, look at it today. Today it's just a formalistic thing. They make more fuss over having a supper, more fuss over a protracted meeting, more fuss over going to a ball game or their ball team than they do over God Almighty and His Word. You say, that's not Bible, Brother Pike. Well, why does the Bible say in the last days? And I can assure you that this is the last days. Why does He say in the last days that people actually will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? They really do, folks. Now let's face the situation. They had rather go camping, and they had rather go eating, and they had rather go fishing, and they had rather go boating, and they had rather go skating, and they'd rather go frolicking, they'd rather do anything that pertains to pleasure than to serve God. Isn't that the truth? The desire for godliness, the desire for righteousness, the desire for eternal life, the zeal. The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound. That is, the world and pleasure and iniquity, the doings of the people shall get greater and greater and greater. Said, because it shall abound, the love for God in the hearts of many shall wax cold. It shall wax cold. I want you to know that I travel over the world. I don't just go across America. I go down into South America. I go down into Central America. I go into Puerto Rico. I go into Brazil. I go into Argentina. I go into Norway, the land of the midnight sun. I go into Israel. I go into France. I go across the world. And everywhere I go, it's the same. There's no difference anywhere. It's the same throughout the entire world, beloved friend. And you know what makes it so bad is America is number one in leading the way. Years ago, that could not be said of America. Years ago, you could go overseas, go wherever. There was something that made people literally quiver when you talked about America. And there was something so fascinating about America that she was like a beautiful queen that everybody just longed to get a glimpse of. But now you can speak about America and they speak evil of America. And they say, away with America, down with America. And they despise America. As a matter of fact, on this last trip, I had some disputes with some people about it. Because in the papers, they were blasting Reagan. In the papers, they were blasting Jimmy Carter. And people of great prominence, I talked to some of them. And we had no little disputation over the thing. I said, you listen to a bunch of news meters and some of them are snakes in the grass. I said, and you don't know what you're talking about. But nevertheless, folks, who has done this to America? Isn't it the people that have done it? The Bible said righteousness exalted the nation. And when we were a righteous people, when we were a godly people, when we were a holy people, God lifted us up. But now we become abominable. We become detestable even to God. Who's going to lift us up? Sin is a reproach to any people. Who's going to lift us up? Who's going to tell us what's right or what's wrong? Well, we're not going to listen to them. You know that. You know America isn't going to listen to anybody unless it's somebody that goes along with what she wants to do. Now look at it, face it like it is. And the whole world's getting in the same shape. That's why Jesus is fixing to come back and change the situation. You know, when you get to work, you don't want to have conversation with nobody except somebody that says what you want to hear. You are in bad shape. Folks, are you listening to what I say? I said, when you get to be the kind of an individual that you don't want to hear anything from anybody except what they want to tell you, you are in bad shape, believe you me. You are in bad shape. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean, if you're ignorant, you're going to continue ignorant. If I won't listen to anybody about anything except what I want to hear and what I want to hear them say, then that means I'm never going to know anything else except what I know. Isn't that right? But folks, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to learn, whether a man or woman be right or wrong, I've still got to listen at them to consider the thing to see if there is anything in there that might make me expand in my understanding or to grow up in my understanding. See, here's something we've got to realize, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. One thing that we've got to take note of and realize, that every individual is a sovereignty. That is, you have a world of your own. Your mind and your spirit and your life is a world of your own. You can sit there tonight, and in your world, you can just move over in California if you want to. If you've ever been to California and you've enlarged the borders of your thinking to that extent or studied about it, your spirit can just move over into California. Paul spoke one time of being present in spirit, not in body. So then you can just move over there in California. You can just think about California and be in California. Or you can be over here in Florida, down along the beach or whatever. And the preacher can be just preaching away, and you can be over there in some kind of dream or caught away over there in something, you know. You are a sovereignty. You've got a world. Your world consists of just as big as you want to make it. If you want to be like science and get out there with Pioneer 10 and your understanding and keep on searching, your world gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. But a lot of people's world is very small. They've never exercised their senses to be able to do that. The Bible speaks of those that have exercised their senses to the extent that they are able to discern between good and evil. That they can have revelation. And they can have the meat of the word. They can have something great and something outstanding. See, so you are a sovereignty. And I've said this before here, I believe. You know, in your world, it might be lightning. It might be thundering. It might be teardrops. It might be a funeral. It might be a sad day. In your world. While as in my world or someone else's world, it might be a springtime morning. It might be that the birds are singing. The sweet shrub moving on the breeze. It might be lovely in my world or somebody else's world. See, you never know what's going on in a human heart, in a human mind, in a human world. But isn't it selfish if I'm in the condition to enjoy life and I have this springtime air of glory and resurrection and I know that you're over here starving to death and I know that you're hungry and I know that you need help and I won't do anything about it? Isn't that pretty cruel? If one fellow can't walk and another fellow can walk, and this man goes to the table and eats, and this man never can get to the table, isn't it pretty cruel of this man not to at least aid him enough to get him to the table? So then what I'm saying is that if I never listen to anybody, if I never exercise my senses, if I just don't believe anybody, if I just turn everybody off, as the world says, when they go to speak to me, because I don't like their disposition, I don't like their looks, I don't like what they're saying, and I don't like the way they are saying it, then I'll never be anything but the conceited, ignorant individual that I am if I'm that way. All right, so then I am not looking for the evangelist that comes along. I am not looking for the evangelist that somebody sent. I do not have favorite TV evangelists. I do not have favorite pastors. I do not have favorite people. I love everybody that loves Jesus. I love everybody that's got a good understanding in God, and the Bible tells me to separate myself from foolish, ignorant men. If I perceive that there's no understanding in them, to go from them, because evil communication will corrupt my good manners. So then I believe in the Word of God. If the TV evangelist preaches the Word of God, me and him is just like that. If he preaches against the Word of God, I tell him as quick as I would anybody else. I've done that, a number of them. So then, I believe in radio pastors, preachers. I preach on TV. I preach on the radio. I believe in that. Now, but I feel the same way about the radio, the TV, that they publish in the publications. Those that preach under tents, those that preach in the churches, those that preach in different denominations. I feel the same without respect to person to every one of them. When one of them leaves the Word of God and they know the Word of God, they are of the devil. There's no need to try to pretty it up, try to fix it up and say, well, this is the fine man and I've known him for so many years and he's been here and he's friends with me and my children and he's of good standing in the city. I don't care what kind of person he is of the devil, and the quicker you get rid of him, the better off you're going to be. And if you don't get rid of him, you're going to be of the devil, because the Bible said two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Now, if Brother Pike preaches heresy and Brother Pike don't stay with this word, then you can talk about how good Brother Pike is all you want to, but Brother Pike is of the devil if he doesn't stand on this word and preach this word and live this word. That's what's wrong with the churches of today. Years ago, they wouldn't tolerate nothing like that. The saints of God would have got together, and if a pastor had tried to put a football game into the church or a basketball game in the church, them saints of God would have stood up and said, "What's wrong with you?" But you know why the saints of God don't do it now? Because they've gotten into a denominational movement, and the thing is expanded around the world, and they've got such a money empire that the little saints of God that's left in there, the few that's left in there, don't even have a voice in it. Because it's ruled by money and ecclesiastical control. This is what the Bible calls Nicolaitan doctrine. He said, I hate the Nicolaitan doctrine. Nicolaitan doctrine is that usurps authority over you, that takes authority over you and makes that thing into a chain command. And it's the thing that God hates because it stands in a new miracle order. The thing I said the other night that caused God to get upset at David was when David numbered his strength. He said, David, that's not faith. I took you as one man and defeated a whole army. And now you want to number your strength over here. Whereas God sought occasion against Israel, he prepared David's heart to do it. But here's the thing. He said, David, I took you as one man and you defeated the armies. And now here you are, David, you're counting your strength. God doesn't want me to count my people and say, I've got 50, I've got 100. I can get $10 out of this man. If there's anybody here under the tent tonight, if you've got 1,000, you can give 1,000, you can give 10, you can give 50. God doesn't want that. A man got up under my tent one night, one of the best platform men I have ever seen. I had him up there leading my services, and he got up, and folks, we need money all the time. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what we're doing. You might not believe that, but if you'd like to check the books, you're welcome to see it. But the man got up and he said, now, the Lord has showed me such and such has got $10 and such has got $50. I said, I didn't embarrass him. I didn't do anything to try to stop him. I just waited till he got through. And when I got a chance to talk with him, I said, don't you never do that under my tent no more. Never no more. Never. The Bible said, let a person give what they will, whatever they want to give. You can tell them the need. You can tell them what is to be done. And then let them give according to what they purpose in their heart to give. See, you are a sovereignty. That is your world. You understand what I'm saying? If you do those things, you are of the devil. When men come through to try to collect thousands upon thousands of dollars to put you on a show and have organized religion with brotherhood to divide with each other, that's of the devil. That's not God. God doesn't do things like that. You show me where one prophet ever did that. Show me where Jesus ever did that one time. That's not the nature of Jesus Christ. But beloved friend, he comes saying, let whosoever will. He bears the expense. He carries the load. He broke the bread and the fishes. He paid for it. And he gave it to the multitude. And then the multitude did exactly what they wanted to do. But I say this again tonight to you. This is where the problem is. As long as I've got a numerical order of my strength and I'm numbering the people and I'm looking to them to get a dollar out of them, or I figure I got 100 people, if I want to buy me a new car over here, if I want to get me a new tent over here, I say, well, I've got 100 people here on the campground and I've got 500 following my ministry, and I'll just send out a little slip and I'll say, folks, I'm desperately in need. Send me a dollar. Send me $10. I believe that's of the devil. And I said, Brother Pike, sure you don't mean that. Yes, I do mean it. When I said it on television, some of them didn't like it because there's a lot of shows on TV. That's all they do. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe in telethons and I believe in taking money and I believe in doing whatever I can. If you're going to feed the widow, if you're going to help the orphan, if you're going to publish the gospel, if you're going to do something for your people. But when it comes just to collect money so that you can expand and build a bigger empire, and so that you can get on more television stations and get on more radio programs, and when you're not even preaching the gospel to begin with, that's of the devil. I love the Lord. I love God's people. That's why I speak the truth. You know, a lot of people won't speak the truth because they know that they've got to live by it. See, if I preach this to you, then the devil say, ha-ha, you fix that thing now. You can't get their money now. They've got their guns on you. But see, I didn't want your money to start with, so it didn't bother me at all. And the saints of God, whatever God's got that he's given to the saints, you don't have to worry about that anyway. That'll take care of itself. And see, here's another thing. I've said this a lot of times. If preachers believe God the way that they say they believe God, why is it they don't try some of the faith? They preach it to you and how you ought to give, but why is it they don't try living by faith sometimes and let God meet their needs if they've got all that faith? That's the way I see it, folks. And it's real. You can have that kind of faith. God has taken care of us, as I said, with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we don't bother you about it. I thank God for everything that you give. I'm not ignorant. I've got enough sense to know that it takes thousands of dollars to operate. I've got enough understanding of the Bible to know that the Bible said, so shall men give into your bosom, and that that represents your strength in giving. I know that, and we need it. But the thing is, to take advantage of somebody and deceive somebody and to put a gimmick into effect or to get some organized way to take advantage of the people, God would burn me in hell for that, and God would bring me into the judgment for that, and my life wouldn't be worth 15 cents. And I'll tell you something, some of these others that think they're getting away with it is going to find that they're going to meet God at the end of the trail. And some of them is already meeting God before they get to the end of the trail. So then tonight, I tell you these things to emphasize what I have already said. What is good for you is good for the pastor. If I'm of God, I'm of God. If I'm not, I'm not. If that man uptown's of God, he's of God. If he's not, he's not. He needs to be dealt with accordingly. But these things, beloved friend, are the things that you're going to have to do. I spoke of the curse tonight. I spoke of the blessing tonight. I pointed out the condition of America because she is in frolic. She is in pleasure. She is not concerned about God. And her sicknesses are, as the Bible said, of a long continuance. And she has every kind of disease to the extent there's not even enough hospitals. There is not enough asylums. There is not enough of institutions of any kind, jails or whatever, to take care of them. I read not too long ago where women going to jail. It is so crowded that the women have to stand up, some of them while the others sleep. It is that crowded even with women in jail. You understand what I'm saying? What do we need to do? Turn back to Christ. Get back to God, not turn back to religion, not have some sweeping revival in our community that's going to deceive us and make us think we're all right and everybody says hallelujah and that's it. But I'm talking about a conformity to the Word of God. I'm talking about surrendering our will to the Word of God. I'm talking about cleaning our lives up, getting away from our iniquity and getting to God's Word and getting to God's mind and God's understanding and taking a backbone of perseverance like Daniel and the Hebrew children did, that I preached up last night, and standing in the face of everybody, whether religious or whatever, and tell them that you're going to live holy. See, holiness, the devil don't like it. You know why he don't like it? Because God is the Spirit of holiness. And the Bible said to have God, you've got to have holiness. Without holiness, you'll never see God. Because God is eternal life. He is the Spirit of holiness. The Bible said, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, eternal life. You say, Brother Pike, what does that consist of? Talking holy, dressing holy, living holy, being holy. Be ye holy, for I'm holy, he said. Let us leave the foundation of repentance, beloved friend. Let us go on to be perfect. Oh, that is to perfection. For every one that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. So tonight, I ask you to consider these things that we're talking about. Think over these things, and let's be a light for God. Let's be valuable here in Eden for God. Let's do right. Let's love the Lord. Can you do that? I want you to stand with me tonight. I appreciate your devoted and kind attention. God will surely bless you. If you love the Lord, walk with the Lord, be honest. Don't try to be something you're not. Just be what you are. Just be plain, down to earth, be simple. And God will surely bless you. God will help you. And you'll become an outstanding figure and an outstanding light in your community or in your area. Folks, if we don't live right, we've got a bad day coming. The lake of fire is a horrible thing. Just think tonight, supposing that God said to you tonight, what if he just told you tonight that he wasn't going to love you anymore, wasn't going to be with you anymore? What if God said to you tonight, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And the Bible said these shall go away into eternal punishment. What would you do? So it wouldn't be like the service being over now, would it? It wouldn't be like coming to the end of the service and everything, closing out, and we say, well, we'll be back tomorrow. Oh, we've got another day. We'll go home and sleep. We're tired. We're weary. Wake up fresh in the morning. We'll start again. Don't you get tired of that, folks? Don't you get tired of it? Now think over it. You know, you go to bed and you get up. And you go all day and you go to bed and you get up. And you go all day and you go to bed and you get up. Such a routine. What a terrible situation. You just go to bed and sleep and get up and eat and go to bed and sleep and get up and eat. My, I've said years ago, if that's all life had, then I didn't want to stay around. Somebody said, well, I like it. Well, I'm glad you do because I don't. I don't. If that's all life had to offer me, I wouldn't want to stay around. I don't like the idea of just going all day till I get tired and lay down and go to sleep, get back up and go all day till I'm tired and go to sleep and get back up. And I don't like that. That's like a dog chasing his tail. You're in the old Indian death march. You're just going around and around. The old Indian death march, when they get lost, you know, they just go around till they die. Now, if you've never been lost, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I got lost in the woods one time, and that thing works just that way. I never would have believed it, but I found myself walking and walking and walking till dark. When it got dark, I thought I'd got somewhere, and all of a sudden it shocked me so I couldn't hardly keep my senses. I realized I was right back where I started. And it tore me up. Because I was out there with a little boy. I needed to get him home. And it was night. And I didn't want to admit to him that I didn't know where I was going. But that's the way a lot of folks are. A lot of preachers are in that condition. They're in the old Indian death walk, and they've got the little ones by the hand, and they don't know where they're going, and they don't want to tell the people because the people will panic on them, or the people won't support their cause, and they don't know what to do. You say, now, Brother Pike, is there people like that? I have people to come to me like that. Ministers, leading outstanding ministers, Nicodemus is by night. They will talk for hours, talk all night long. He said, Brother Pike, I don't know what's happening. I can't figure this thing out. And yet the same preachers, I see them up behind the desk, and they are driving, and they are like a man that knows everything, that has all the answers, and the people are convinced that they do. And then when they get down, they just wilt because they don't know what to do. But they've got to preach. They're called to preach. But I tell you, you can know, folks, and you can be happy over the situation. So then, I don't want to be a routinist in life unless it's a routinist for God. Now, I can picture going all day, doing something for Jesus, helping humanity, being of a service, and then growing weary and laying down and resting at night and enjoying the rest, getting back up the next morning, going again and giving my life and my body and my concern for the needy to help somebody. I just love to do that. Because I can look out yonder and I say, well, Lord, it won't be long. Won't be long and this routine of laying down and getting up will be over. Out there, there'll be one eternal day and I'll never get tired and sleepy and weary and lay down again. I'll be awake from now on and I'll be filled with strength and joy, the splendor of abundant living and all the glories and everything that a man could wish for. And that routine will be over. I can go along with that, folks. That sounds good. You love Jesus? I speak unto you, Paul said, as unto wise men, wise women, people that love God. Let's sing a little chorus together. I do appreciate you. I really do. From my heart, I appreciate you. Today's Wednesday, is that right? Something is happening, folks. Honestly, before God, Brother Pike wouldn't tell you this if something great wasn't taking place. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And if I magnified something and lifted something up and said something that wasn't true, God would have no respect for this preacher. He'd put me in hell just as quick as he would anybody else. He's no respect to person. But I can tell you something fantastically wonderful is happening. But nevertheless, just in consideration of the fact that we're here preaching to you, and you're people, and I'm a preacher, and we've got a tent, God has allowed us to be here. To me, that's wonderful. I thank God for that. I thank God for those that are here and those that have come. Let's sing this little song together. But it has to do with far more than that. As a matter of fact, it has to do with your eternal existence, your eternal welfare. It has to do with all of the universe and us setting this tent right here. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? A stream is flowing down from Calvary. Can you sing it with me? There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, there's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Sing it one more time with me, will you? There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. That stream, it's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, there's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Sometimes, you know, I happen to look around and I see these cameras. I forget about the cameras going. I love the Word of God so much, I get carried away with people and with the Word of God and the thing that God's doing. I forget about them using the cameras for video or TV or whatever. And when I turn around, it's kind of shocking to me because it dawns on me that everything I'm doing and everything I'm saying is being recorded. They do that to our meetings. They record them. I guess there's hardly ever a service, if any service, home or abroad, if there's anybody there or whatever. But what they don't make a tape of it and record it for radio or whatever. And so many multiplied times it's taped or recorded by video or movie cameras or whatever. And like I say, sometimes I forget that they are recording it. But I don't say anything other than what I feel God would have me to say anyway. And if the things I say them for the benefit of the people and for the benefit of you. So being on record or whatever, it doesn't matter anyway. You love Jesus tonight? Okay, let's sing another little chorus together. Can we change the tempo just a little bit? We sing this song, "We'll Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in Our Heart." I like that song, don't you? And then it tells us to come into His courts with praise. So tonight, let's just sing that together, can we? We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter God's courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Let's sing it one more time. I'm gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. While He's playing now, I'd like for you to gather around the altar just for a moment so I can pray with you tonight. On toward the latter part of the week again, I want to be praying for the sick. And I am praying for you, though there's been a night or two that we've not prayed in the laying on of the hand. But I've been praying for you. I've been praying that God would bless you. I've been asking God to do something for you. And at night, when you're in your bed asleep, numbers of nights, I'm talking to Jesus about you. You people right here in Eden, these that I've met right here in Eden, numbers of nights, I'm talking to God about you and your children, your welfare, spiritually, naturally, and physically. I'm talking to God about you. I'm asking God to have mercy. You know, you're the light of the world, and you're most assuredly the light of Eden.
in that you are the ones that are here in Eden. So then you are the light of this place, and if you don't shine out for God, then that means that there isn't going to be any light here. And knowing that the people, some of them, the ministry, whatever, has not responded as they ought to have responded, then that means that there can be some bad days in Eden, folk. So then God, for your sake, will work with you and try to keep things right. God, for your sake, will do something to make things go well in Eden. I'm trusting that He will do it. And maybe by your help, by your strength, by your gathering together, by you doing the things that you're doing in God, your sincerity and your devotion, maybe by this one thing, it will bring real light into Eden and real concern about Christianity and the things of God. Let's lift our hands up together. Can we do that tonight? Just lift our hearts up together. You know, you are wonderful people. You're wonderful people. You might say, Brother Pike, you just don't know the mistakes I make and the blunders I make. Maybe I don't. But I don't know anybody that don't stumble and stagger along life's way. But there's one thing about it. I know that you're wonderful people because you're trying to make an effort to shape in your lives and make your lives conform to God and find the truth. That proves that you must have a wonderful heart within you, or you wouldn't be searching for the wonderful things of God. So tonight, as we stand here, your hearts and minds are lifted up, I want you to let's pray together. Can we do that tonight? God bless your hearts. God bless your heart. We've had new faces night after night after night, numbers of new faces, and some of them coming with a regularity. So then, I want you to lift your hands up with me, and I want to pray for you tonight. And I want to ask God to help you. If you believe in God tonight, then let's pray together. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your lovely Son, most assuredly, Father, there is none like unto Him. There is none so glorious and none so lovely and none so wonderful. None that should be magnified in the eyes and the sight of the people as your darling Son, Jesus. We do magnify the wonderful Holy Spirit, the lovely Holy Ghost. Through the name of Jesus, Father, we lift Him up and we magnify Thy Spirit, Heavenly Father, in the name of Your lovely Son tonight. We lift it up knowing that there's salvation in none other name. We lift His name up tonight to the people that they might believe on the name of Jesus and that they might call upon the name of Jesus. For Father, You said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And dear God, we lift Him up tonight and we magnify Your lovely Son. Hear from heaven, my Father. Oh, I feel Your mighty anointing now. I feel Your mighty quickening Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, quickening my mortal body. Oh God, knowing that Christ within me is my only hope of glory, knowing that Christ within these people, that's the only hope of glory that they've got, Father, let Him richly dwell within their hearts. Let them be grounded and rooted in the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Let them be rooted in it, Father, grounded in the wonderful truth of God. May Your Spirit come down in their heart. May they receive that lovely Holy Ghost, that wonderful Holy Ghost that I feel right now. May He take up His abode within the temple of humanity, that wonderful abundant life, that wonderful overflowing life, that wonderful healing stream from heaven. May it take up its abode within their temple tonight. Sanctify, cleanse them, purify them, and let this lovely Holy Ghost, this wonderful Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, let Him come into their hearts and dwell in there richly, oh God, to bless and to heal and to prosper and to enlighten them in the knowledge of the wonderful Son of God. I ask You to do it tonight. Oh God, in Your wonderful name, I ask You to do it tonight. I want us to sing a little chorus together. While we're singing this chorus together, I want you to think about Jesus. Think about the wonderful things of God. I'm going to ask Brother Allen over here, Larry Allen, to come and dismiss us. But before he does, let's sing this little song, Brother Taylor. Everybody ought to know. How do you feel like everybody ought to know about Jesus? Look, raise your hand if you believe that everybody ought to know about Jesus. Now, while you've got your hands up, let me see by your hands remaining up for just a few minutes if you are making any effort. Are you making any effort to see that everybody knows about Jesus? This is the main thing. Are you making any effort? All right, I believe you are. Some of you are. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we?
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sing it with me now. He's the lily of the valley, and he's that bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it like this then. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he's the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's lift our hands up together one more time now. Close our eyes. Think about Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight that you're a child of God? That you have eternal life? Think about the hundreds and millions of people. They may have money, they may have education, they may have security, they may have positions, they may even be dignitaries. But beloved friend, many of them do not have eternal life. Aren't you glad tonight that you have eternal life, that you can live eternally, and that with all the blessings and splendor and magnificence of all eternity? You're the sons and daughters of the living God tonight. You're the great daughters and sons of the King, the great King of Kings. You're his daughters. Can you imagine just being the daughter of a king or the son of a king? Being a daughter of a king makes you a princess. Being the son of a king makes you a prince. To think tonight that you're actually the daughters and sons of the great eternal God, the lovely God of gods and the King of kings. Tonight, while you've got your hands up and join that thought, I want our brother Larry Allen to come over here with you. And I want him to pray with you tonight, asking God to do something wonderful for you in this world, not in the world to come, but in this world as you serve the Lord here, that God may bless you with all the wonderful things of life.